Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Good morning. The first reading comes from the Song of Solomon. The voice of my beloved, look, he comes, leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing in at the windows, looking through the lattice. My beloved speaks and says to me, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For now the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth its figs, and the vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
If you would, please stand as together we read today's psalm.
You.
Thank you. The second reading this morning comes from the book of James, first chapter. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forgot what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Isaiah prophesied rightly about May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. What are the places where you abide? To abide is to remain, to continue, and to stay. The places where you abide are those where your heart, mind, body, and soul literally reside. Perhaps more pointed, the question should be, what are the places where you spend most of your time? Do you abide mostly in the acquisition of material things? Do you abide mostly with reality TV or the internet? Do you abide mostly with a cable news network? Do you abide mostly on your iPhone, Facebook, or Twitter? Do you abide mostly on the golf course or tennis court? Do you abide mostly in UK football or basketball or some other team? Do you abide mostly in whatever that is not your faith in God, in Jesus Christ? Jesus said, "He or she who abides in me bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." The call of Jesus to his disciples over and over again in the Gospels is that they should be centered, they should reside, they should abide in the very place of God. It's not a geographic place, if you will. It is a spiritual reality. The Son of God was reiterating the constant teaching that came before him in the Hebrew Scriptures, our Old Testament, that it is from God from whom our lives must flow. A favorite verse of mine from Psalm 91 begins, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty." Perhaps one of our first challenges is to re-examine the places where we primarily abide. Abiding in God through Jesus Christ strengthens us and our lives in ways that are unimaginable. Jesus is not saying that when you abide in him, that whatever you ask for, you will get, but rather that you are more likely to ask for what would be in accordance with God's will, because you are abiding. When I download iTunes from my laptop to my iPod, across the tiny screen it reads, "Synchronizing, do not remove." To abide in Jesus Christ is to be synchronizing all the time with God. To live, if you will, in the psalmist's words, under the shadow of the Almighty. In today's gospel passage from Mark, where is it that the hearts and minds of the Pharisees and scribes seem to be abiding? They question Jesus. "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" Now, to put it perhaps in a modern context, as I was working on this sermon yesterday, I thought of my youngest son, who's 23 now, who a month ago when he was here, looked at me and said, "Dad, when are you going to get an iPhone? I mean, how do you still use that BlackBerry thing?" Of course, he can't afford the one that he has, but he has it nonetheless. And so the disciples, if you think about it in that same context, they look at Jesus and they go, "What's with your disciples? They didn't wash up before the meal." One of the traditions that you may or may not notice, and you probably all can't see it, but right before the priest begins the great Thanksgiving, as part of the tradition, the priest washes his or her hands. And the prayer that I say is, "Lord, wash away my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins." It's a symbolic washing of the hands, and the ritual is that which goes all the way back to the Jewish priests, goes back to this time of symbolic ritual cleansing. And so Jesus looks at the scribes and the Pharisees who are telling him about this ritual, not only the ritual of washing, but also anything that comes from the marketplace. It could be contaminated, and they mean ritually unclean. They don't mean dirty unclean before they eat it. Their focus or place of abiding is upon the law. That's not how we do it. Their viewpoints, and that closes their minds. Closes their minds and hearts to the gospel that Jesus is proclaiming in their midst. That those disciples were eating with unwashed hands are seeking actually to live out the kingdom of God in a way that the Pharisees and the scribes could not imagine. So Jesus calls the crowd back together. And he says to them, "Let me tell you why I don't have an iPhone." He says, "Listen to me, all of you, understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile. For it is from within the human heart that evil intentions come." And so Jesus is not throwing out what they do, but he is saying to them, move your focus, shift your focus. It's not that any of those things where we might have our primary place presently of abiding, it's not that those are not okay. It's okay to have the golf course, the tennis court, the Facebook, the Twitter, you fill in the blank, the iPhone, whatever it might be. But Jesus is saying the challenge for all of you is to keep your eye on the prize. That is to live abiding with God in Christ. The great faith and tradition we have as Episcopalians and Anglicans is the centrality of the Holy Eucharist and our corporate worship as our starting point for abiding in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as fully human and fully divine, is quite unfathomable if left alone to the human mind. The miracle of the incarnation is that the Word of God, the Logos, became a little baby that could not speak so that you and I could speak the truth of God in Jesus Christ, that Emmanuel, God, is with us. And then Jesus left us this church, his promise of being fully present in the palpable, in the tangible, in the bread
Take and eat in the wine. Take and drink. And you know that in our tradition, either of those, or one alone, fully gives you the benefits of the sacrament. You and I come to this holy table every Sunday to abide in Jesus Christ and be given sustenance for the challenges of the week ahead. Life is hard. Every week, we are faced with challenges, either personally or people that we know, both in this parish, in this community, in our nation, and in the world. And what Christ promises to us is that through our reception of Him into our very beings, we will be nourished to meet those challenges head on. That we'll be connected, if you will, to the source, which is God in Jesus Christ. It'll point us back to our abiding in Jesus Christ. So today, as we celebrate the ministry of Stephen Leist, of 8 years in our parish, a place where he has physically been abiding, we know that as he moves forward, because of our faith, that abiding for Stephen and for Joanna and his family, and that abiding for us continues in the centrality of our faith in Jesus Christ. Because it's not geography that can ever separate us. Our faith unites us and allows us to send off one in the name of Jesus Christ, knowing that that abiding is still taking place. And whatever you focus on this day, when you go and watch UK football, do I have to mention Louisville? Yes? Some are saying yes. Know that that's okay. It's okay to abide there, but what God wants is for our abiding in Jesus Christ to always come first, and our abiding in all the rest come second. Amen. Let us now stand and profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, the eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the that they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
We pray for Barack, our president, members of Congress, and Steve, our governor, and for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world.
That there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake.
That our works may find favor in your sight.
This day for those who are celebrating birthdays in our parish family, for Amy Collingsworth, Patrick Watts, Linda Reeves, Benjamin Berg, Tori Donovan, John Ming. And we give thanks for those that are celebrating wedding anniversaries this week, James and Betty Gill, Ed and Doris Ruggles, Kevin and Julie Skeeters, Ben and Toss Chandler. We pray that God would bless all of them richly with his love, his joy, and his peace. I also ask your prayers this Labor Day weekend for our nation. We pray for all of those who are seeking employment. Pray for those, especially in our community. I ask your prayers as well for all of those following the aftermath of Hurricane Isaac. We pray for those who have lost their lives, those who have lost their homes and property. We pray for God's healing and God's mercy and for relief in those parts of our nation. And this day we celebrate and give thanks for the ministry of Stephen Leist, for his faithful and gifted service as organist and choir master for 8 years at St. John's Episcopal Church. We pray for God's special blessing upon him and his family as they move forward from this place. O God, whom saints and angels delight to worship in heaven, be ever present with your servant, Stephen, who seeks through music to perfect the praises offered by your people on earth, and grant to him his family glimpses of your beauty, and make him worthy at length to behold it unveiled forevermore. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your way. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Peace of the Lord be always with you.
Also with you.
Okay, folks, I'm going to bring us back together. Stephen, I know you'll never be in an Episcopal church that does the piece like this quite again. Please be seated. I think it's only appropriate that I begin my announcements by saying that today is a celebration and in honor of Stephen Lice and his 8 years of faithful and talented ministry to this congregation, to the glory of God, and in particular with this choir. I will share with you that shortly after my arrival here, within a couple of Sundays, I shared with many in this congregation, especially on the vestry, how fortunate and how blessed they were to have this organist and choir master in a parish that's an average-sized Episcopal church. It's not so likely all the time. And I was so impressed with his abilities and with his abilities not only to play the organ, but to also get the sound that he gets from this choir. And then I heard him sing. And then I was triply impressed. And we will miss him greatly. And we have not yet seriously looked at the next step, because we wanted to have a proper celebration of Stephen Lice's ministry. And so, Stephen, I want to say that I am personally going to miss you. We thought we were going to have a lot of years together, and we have had a wonderful 1 year together. But I know that this is God's will for you and for your family. It's an incredible promotion that you've received. You're moving to a wonderful part of the country in Virginia. And although we shall miss you, we send you with God's blessing and God's richness and God's joy, but most of all, our thanks.
Unauthorized bootleg announcement.
Okay.
This Sunday marks the 52nd Sunday of the first anniversary of Father Phillips.
Oh, don't do that.
Here
don't
at St. John's. And I did not want the occasion to pass without saying how grateful we are for your presence, Ellen, Conrad. We are delighted to have you among us. We are honored by your presence.
Thank you.
And thank you so
thank you.
Much.
And this is Stephen's Day.
Jesus on
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It's right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name.
We forgive those who trespass against us.
hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
of life is over and our work is done. Then in thy mercy grant us a safe lodging and a holy rest. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and those you love this Sunday and forevermore.
Amen.